You'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 2. Letter to the Hebrews, chapter 2. Reading verses 14 and 15. Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And our subject this morning is overcoming the power of death. Well, this is a passage that we read earlier that speaks, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ, speaks about who he is and what he has done. Who he is, well, he could have many titles given to him. There are many great and glorious titles you can apply to the Lord Jesus Christ, but perhaps the one that most presents itself to us in this passage and in these verses in particular is that of a deliverer. The Lord Jesus Christ is a deliverer. Verse 15, delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The Lord Jesus Christ is a saviour, a deliverer, one who saves us to the uttermost. He's not an oppressor. He's not someone who seeks to enslave us. Maybe there are some people here who don't know about the Lord Jesus Christ, like to keep him at arm's length because they think he's some sort of oppressor, somebody who will make their life out to be not so good. But well, he is a deliverer. He sets us free. It's the opposite of oppression. He's a deliverer. He's a liberator. He's our Messiah. He's our Savior. And this is a glorious thing to ponder even from the outset. But it's interesting, these verses are so intriguing, to read about those whom he has delivered. Verse 15 again, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Well, we all fear death. It's natural for human beings to fear death. Many people you meet, well, they're not very honest. They say to you, I don't fear death. In fact, they say to you that Christianity is a religion exclusively for people who do fear death. But everybody fears death. Death scares us. If we are ill, if we are sick for a long period of time, we don't know what it is, well, we get worried. We go to the doctor. And the first thing on our mind, the most pressing thing on our mind, is this serious? Is this something terminal? Will I die from it? I'm scared of that. Tell me, doctor. Tell me, GP. Will I die from it? If I'm not going to die from it, it's all right. I can live with it. But if I am, I'm scared to death. Death scares us. This is very clear to us. And well, you even see this in culture. Hollywood filmmakers are very convinced, persuaded, that death scares us. Every scary movie that has ever been made has somebody who's died or has some great theme of death. A scary movie is not a scary movie if nobody dies. If everybody just lives perfectly happy, that's not scary. Every scary movie has the theme of death because they know full well that death scares us. That is what scares us the most. We are fearful of death, and this is very obvious, really, no matter how much we try to deny it. But of course, most people, They like to avoid the subject, don't like talking about death. People are put off Christians, and I've mentioned this already, because they think that we are people who only talk about death. And I've had this said to me, you know why I don't like the Christian faith? You're always talking about death. It's so depressing. Oh, why don't you want to talk about death? Well, it's because they're scared about these things. They don't want to talk about these things. Put them to the back of our minds. They depress me. Why do they depress you? Because I'm scared of these things. I'm afraid of these things. The fear of death. And it keeps us enslaved in unbelief. This is what these words are saying to us. But if only more people would examine the Christian faith, would explore it, would seek after Christ, well, then they would see their fear of death would be lifted off them. Because that is what Christ has come to do, to take away the fear of death from us. That is part of his great mission. That is what he has indeed accomplished. There is no fear of death when we trust in Christ. But before we go any further, we have to look at verse 14, and let's put this into some sort of context for us this morning. Verse 14 sounds quite complicated, but let's just go through it bit by bit. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Speaking of children, well, of course, this is not little children, babies or infants or toddlers or anything like that. Of course not. They're speaking about the children of God. The writer of the letter speaking about the children of God. Who are the children of God? Are they angels? Are they heavenly beings? No. The writer of the letter says they are flesh and blood. They are human beings like us. Men, women, and children. They are the children of God. Oh, does that mean then that all human beings are children of God? Some people believe this. They believe if we're human beings, oh, we're all children of God. No, this passage doesn't say that. Not every man, woman, and child is a child of God. Only those who trust in God. Only those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the children of God. That is what this passage is saying. The children which God hath given me, given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not every single one of us. But then Christ himself is mentioned in the next part of the verse. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, likewise took part of the same. What does that mean? Well, that means that the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, he is the second person of the triune Godhead. He is God from everlasting to everlasting, no beginning, no end. The eternal Son of God, he came down from heaven to earth and partook of the same flesh and blood. He became man. He was clothed with human flesh. That's what it means. The eternal God partook of the same flesh and blood, fully man, fully God. That's what this verse means. The Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, divine and yet fully man at the same time, the only person who's ever been 200%, as I often mention, 100% man, 100% God. And this is communicated by those words. But why did he come down? Why did he come down in a body? Well, this is for an extraordinary reason. And again, it's explained here. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. The Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself a body, a human body, so that he could die. Through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. He came to die. Obviously, this wasn't the only thing that he did when he was on earth. We know that he spoke tremendous words. We know that he performed amazing, tremendous miracles. But his great mission, his great purpose was to come and to die. Because through his death, he would do something that no other man could do. No other man, no other death could do. He would take away the power of death. He would destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. And this is where things get very interesting for us. He who has the power of death, the devil. Well, I trust we all know who the devil is. The Bible explains to us, makes it very clear, that the devil is a very real person. Just as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is true, he is real. Well, yes, the devil is a real person. Some people, they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't believe in the devil. They don't believe in hell. But he is real. The scriptures talk in so many places about him. A fallen angel. Lucifer was his name. He was one of God's angels. But he challenged God. He wanted to raise himself above God. And God struck him down, threw him down from heaven, as it were. Lucifer, so consumed with his own pride, but God banished him from heaven, from his holy presence. And now, well, he is our adversary. The devil hates us. He's our enemy, our adversary, our slanderer. The devil tempts us into sin so that he can accuse us before God. That is the devil. That is Satan. That is what he does. But here we learn that he has the power of death. The devil has the power of death. How so? How can we explain this? Well, we have to think about the time when death entered into the world. When did death come into the world? It's right at the start of the Bible. It's in the book of Genesis, the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, well, we remember that Adam and Eve were given a commandment not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat that forbidden fruit. If you eat of that fruit, what will happen? You will die. You will bring death into this perfect world. But there was somebody else in the Garden of Eden. Who was it? Satan was there. Satan was there. And he said to Adam and Eve, "Oh yes, God has said that you will die, but don't listen to him. You're not going to die. Nothing's going to happen to you. Just take of the fruit. You'll see how wonderful it is. Oh, you won't die. Your eyes will be opened. You'll be just like God. Don't listen to God. Just take it. Nothing will happen to you at all." And well, Adam and Eve, they believed Satan. They came under his power, as it were. They were tempted by him, under his spell. And because they were under the power of Satan, death came into the world. That is what this means. The devil has the power of death. He tempts people into sin and death. And he's done that ever since. He tempts people away from God into sin and death. We have God's word. We have the pure word of God. But the devil comes to us and says, "Oh, don't believe that. God's word says you must believe on Christ or you will die eternally." The devil says, "Oh, don't worry. You're not going to die. Just live your life how you want to live it. Just live it in sin. Nothing's going to happen to you at all. You don't have to take any notice of this word of God." And well, this is how he leads people away from God. How he leads people to have hardened hearts. And he leaves them totally unprepared for death. The power of Satan. If you live all your life under the power of Satan, you will be left totally unprepared for death. Well, is that you? Is that you at this present time? You listen to the word of Satan, as it were, telling you the word of God is nothing. The word of God is not very important at all. Nothing will happen to you if you don't follow God. Well, at the very end of your life, you will find yourself utterly unprepared for death. No hope of salvation, no knowledge of Christ. And Satan, well, he would have won. Satan is very pleased. He's led you into death because you have been under his power. What a terrible thing this is. And we've spoken already about how people are in bondage to these things. Well, it's like an illustration I could give. Well, we've spoken about movies already. Excuse me. But when I was a child, I remember watching some of these silent movies on the TV. You don't get it so much nowadays. But these silent movies, there would always be some dastardly villain running around and some damsel in distress. There would always be one scene, I remember. In almost every silent movie you would see, there'd always be one scene when the villain would kidnap the leading lady, the damsel, and he would tie her to some train track. And then the camera would cut away and you would see the train speeding up to the lady. They're going to collide any minute. The lady is sure to die. But the lady can't free herself. She's tied to the tracks. And death is fast approaching. The train is coming. Well, that's just what Satan does to us. Satan, with his power, when we listen to him, it's like he's tying us down to some tracks. We can't get ourselves out. And death is fast approaching. Satan keeps us bound with his lies. And death, well, we never know when it will hit us. That is exactly what Satan has done to us. But may I put to you this morning that actually the most terrifying thing about death is not the physical experience, it's what happens after. It's what happens after we physically die. Our encounter with God himself. That is the most terrifying part of death if you don't know the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said this, and you don't need to turn to this, but I'm turning to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. And the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 4 says to those who were listening to him, "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." So the Lord Jesus is saying, don't fear your physical death. Fear what happens after. When you stand before God, then you have great reason to fear. Fear him who has the power to cast you into hell. That's not Satan anymore. That's God. That's Almighty God, the Holy God, before whom we shall all stand. The only God with whom we have to do. Now, I know that some people, when they hear such things, they get very, very scared. And it actually, in a way, keeps them from God. They think to themselves, oh, I can't seek after God. I know that God is holy. If I seek after God, God will see all my sins. God will see all the things that I've done wrong. He'll see all the times I've lied, all the times I've been manipulative, all the times I've been violent and angry. He'll see all of those times, and he'll be very angry with me. And he'll cast me into hell. So what am I going to do? Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll just pretend he doesn't exist. I'll just never go to church. I'll never speak to anyone about God. I'll live in total unbelief. Then I'll be safe. That's our twisted logic. If I pretend that God doesn't exist, I'll be saved from going to hell. Some people think that. That's the cause for their unbelief. Because if they draw near to God, they fear they'll be cast into hell. Well, fear not, says the scriptures. Fear not, there is a way out of that punishment. There is a way we can escape that punishment, that condemnation. God has sent the Lord Jesus Christ, given him a human body to die in our place, to die instead of us, to take upon himself the punishment for sin. That is what he did, to take upon himself that punishment that we deserved. It's like he said to the Lord when he went to the cross, it's like he offered up himself to the Lord and said, Lord, you know why I have come. I've come to be a deliverer for my people. I've come to save my children. Lord, punish me instead of them. Punish me. I love my people. I love my children. I will take their punishment instead of them. And that's what he did on the cross. On the cross, he was taking the wrath of God upon himself in our place. That's the love of God, and he did it willingly. He loves us. He loves his people. That is the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our great deliverer. He's our great captain. He is, if we can go back to that illustration, the one who sees us tied down on the tracks, and death and judgment is speeding up to us. But Christ comes and sets us free and pushes us out of the way, as it were, and he takes the full force of our judgment and of our death. That's what he's done for us. How can we ever find salvation anywhere else? This is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's marvelous for us. These words are so glorious. And well, we must draw to conclusion now. But we started off speaking about the fear of death. But a true Christian does not fear death. We are the only group of people in the world who does not fear death and has a great reason not to fear death. Christian funerals, well, yes, they're sad sometimes, they're solemn occasions, but they're joyous occasions too. Because the Bible says that when we die, when a Christian dies, it is gain. You gain something when you die. What does a Christian gain when he dies? What could he possibly gain? Oh, when he leaves this world, he enters into the presence of the Lord. He is with God in heaven, a place where there is no death, where there is no sorrow, there is no sadness, there is no sin. There is only joy and peace forever. What tremendous gain he has accumulated when he dies. For the Christian, there is no fear of death at all. In fact, well, I know some brothers, a Christian brother, he had to have a very serious operation. This was quite recently. And he was convinced he was going to die. He was convinced that he was never going to live past that operation. And he said his goodbyes to everybody. He was so persuaded. But you know, lo and behold, he came through the operation. And he came out of hospital. And when I spoke to him, he was actually quite disappointed that the Lord hadn't taken him home. He was so looking forward to his death, to that gain, to be with the Lord. That was what he wanted. He was slightly disappointed that he was still alive, speaking to me on the phone. But that is what it is for a Christian believer. Well, dear friends, is that your state? What will your death be like? Will your death be gain? Do you have that full assurance of heaven? Do you look forward to it? Do you trust in Christ? Do you know him as your Savior? Oh, you must come to him. Come to him. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I'm heading for death, physical death, and spiritual death, eternal death. But I know there is a deliverer, someone who died for me. Oh Lord, help me to put my trust in him, my faith in him. Help me to live for him. And well, if you say that sincerely, then you'll become a child of God, and there'll be no fear of death for you in this life and at the end of your life and forevermore. No fear of death, just that great, everlasting, eternal reward. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank thee that Christ has come and taken upon himself that body of flesh and blood to die for us, that we may be saved, that we may be forgiven. Lord, may we each one hold upon him, cleave to him, know him and love him, give our lives to him, and know that we are saved because he has shed his blood for us. O Lord, be with us now and remain with us throughout this day and forevermore. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.